So we come to the word for this first exercise. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. When I told Martin that I wanted to use words applicable to resurrection and eternal life to fit in with the Easter and Ascension season, he suggested the umbrella title of the Lord of Life, which I was happy to agree with. I then used my computer concordance to find the phrase, but interestingly enough, have been unable to do so in any version of the Bible that I possess. There are references to the Prince of Life and to the Lord of all the earth, but none to this actual phrase. The Greek word used for prince in the expression Prince of Life is an interesting and a helpful one. It is archegos, from the same root as the word used for beginning at the start of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And it has the meaning here of instigator or founder. The NIV appropriately translates it as author, so we get author of life, which gives a good idea of the phrase. Though it's true that archegos can also mean leader or captain. There's just one other place where this same word is translated as author, in the phrase author and perfecter of our faith, in Hebrews 12:2. It's helpful to have this in mind as we look at the word for this first exercise. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Jesus said this to the Jews when they accused him of breaking the Sabbath law by telling the man whom he had healed by the pool of Bethesda to take up his bed and walk. They had a double accusation, for he also told them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." To the Jews, it was blasphemy that Jesus should claim equality with God, and they were determined to kill him. Jesus was perfectly aware of this, and his reply to them spoke fully of both life and death. He challenged the Jews, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Here is something to ponder. Do we too sometimes refuse to come to Jesus to have eternal life? Let us face our reluctance as we now enter into silence and take this word into our minds. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. We come now to look at this word in a little more detail. The first thing to notice is that there are two provisos: hearing the word and believing him who sent the Lord. I'm reminded of the parable of the sower. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. It's only by both hearing the word and accepting it that we have eternal life. William Barclay says that by so doing, we enter into three new relationships. What he says is worth quoting in full. One, we enter into a new relationship with God. The judge becomes the father. The distant becomes the near. Strangeness becomes intimacy. And fear becomes love. Two, we enter into a new relationship with our fellow men. Hatred becomes love. Selfishness becomes service. And bitterness becomes forgiveness. Three, we enter into a new relationship with ourselves. Weakness becomes strength. Frustration becomes achievement. And tension becomes peace. This, for William Barclay, is what constitutes eternal life. And he ends his commentary on this verse by saying, "The person who accepts the way of Christ has passed from death to life. In this world, life becomes new and thrilling. In the world to come, eternal life with God becomes a certainty." Or to put it another way, in the words of Dr. John Marsh, the eternal in the New Testament is not an uncharacterized duration. It is a filled magnitude. Christ-filled. This thought brings us to our second period of silence, when we take this word into our hearts. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. As we now come to make this word work for us and use our wills to uphold people in intercession, we shall amend this word to fit our prayers by saying, "Hear the word at my mouth. You who hear and believe have eternal life." Our prayers in this exercise are connected with our families, friends close to us, and the church. So let us hold up before the Lord, "I am," our families, those who are closest to us, particularly those with a Christian commitment, either as lay people or as priests, but also those without, that they may come themselves to hold the Lord, "I am," as Lord. You are families. Hear the word of my mouth. You who hear and believe have eternal life. We pray for our friends. Again, especially those who have a commitment and show this in their lives. But those too without, who may be seeking the way, hear the word at my mouth. You are friends who hear and believe, have eternal life. Let us now pray for our churches. If we are members of the Church of England, our parish church, its staff and congregation, or if we are members of other Christian churches, for the ministers and people of those churches. You, members of our church, hear the word of my mouth. You who hear and believe have eternal life. We thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for the unsearchable riches of your word and your promises, poured forth from you as light from the sun in boundless generosity, whether accepted, rejected, or ignored. And now we offer to you ourselves, insofar as we are able, as an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, all that we have, all that we are, and all that we do, through him whose way leads to eternal life, Jesus Christ, our Lord.